Good evening, and welcome to our midweek Lenten service. We are continuing our Lenten series in the book of Job. The theme for today is understanding how it all works together from Job 23, verses 1 through 17. So now we begin with the invocation and call to worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know that my Redeemer lives. We continue by singing the hymn, My Song is Love Unknown. Loving and merciful Father, when overcome by grief, like Job, we wonder what happened to your love and your wonderful plan for our lives. It feels as though our prayers fall on deaf ears. Like Job, we begin looking for you to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south, the four points of the horizon and the compass. But you are nowhere to be found. The darkness threatens to swallow us whole, and we feel as though we are drowning in an ocean of divine silence. Lord, then we are tempted to do something cheap or dirty, or something that will bring great shame upon us and those we love. Have mercy on us, O God. Hear the word of the Lord from Job, chapter 42, verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Our God turns crucifixions into resurrections. What was dead is now alive, and what was once defeat is now an everlasting triumph. Christ is alive. He forgives us all our sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I know that my Redeemer lives. We continue with the seventh verse of hymn number 430. Let us pray. Merciful Father, empower us to believe that when you have tested us, we will come forth as gold. For you work all things together for our good and your everlasting glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We prepare our hearts for the reading of God's Word.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Job, the 23rd chapter. Then Job answered and said, "Today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, he would pay attention to me. There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he is unchangeable. And who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider, I am in dread of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson for this evening is from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, the fifth chapter. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned to them and said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship with the singing of our sermon hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good evening, everyone. I hope all of you are doing well and staying healthy on this fifth Wednesday of Lent. And tonight we're going to be looking at Job chapter 23, 1 through 17. But first, before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about my mom's homemade cooking. As a little kid, I always marveled at how delicious her homemade biscuits were. And I think even these biscuits would be envied by Colonel Sanders. So one day, she was creating this, or getting ready to make this batch of biscuits, and our dog got out, and so she went out to look for it. And I thought, this is my chance. This is my chance to see what the secret ingredient was to her delicious homemade biscuits. And while she was searching, I went to the counter and looked at all the ingredients there. And I said, all right, flour's the biggest one. Maybe that's it. And I tried that and spit it out. Nasty. I moved on to the next ingredient, which is shortening. I tried that. Gross. And I went through all the ingredients till finally the last ingredient was baking powder. And I thought, this has to be it. This must be the ingredient that makes everything so good. And then, of course, I tried it and gagged me with a spoon, literally. It was nasty. And I thought, what is going on? What is my mom trying to do to me? Is she trying to kill me? This is disgusting. But what I didn't realize was that my mom was taking these strange and nasty, maybe distasteful ingredients and working them all together in order to create these delicious biscuits of beauty. So the secret is understanding how it all works together. And we see that this turns out to be true with Job as well. Throughout most of his book, Job thinks that God is trying to kill him, literally trying to kill him. But today's first reading includes these words from Job's 23, verse 10. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. God is after a golden character, a mature faith, a life marked with depth and compassion. God is able to take the nasty and distasteful events, work them together, and create lives of beauty for His glory. The secret is understanding, again, how it all works together. Now, there are five ingredients that we work with. The first one is shock. When your world falls apart, no one is fully prepared for that time you're sitting at your desk or you're driving home and you get that phone call that someone in your family has passed away. Or you're shaving and you feel that lump in your neck, or you're at the doctor and he starts talking to you and uses the C word, cancer. When those things happen, it's like jumping into a bitterly cold lake. You can prepare yourself all you want for what's about to happen. But when you jump in, immediately there's a shock to your system and it takes your breath away. After Job lost everything, chapter 2 says that for 7 days he just sat among the ashes and shards of pottery and he scraped himself. Job couldn't say anything. He was in shock. The second ingredient is sorrow. When your heart is breaking, whatever happened to this God that loves me, this God that has a plan for my life, for your lives, for our lives? In chapter 23, when Job gives voice to his sorrow, he feels as though his complaints and his cries for help are falling on divine deaf ears. Job starts looking to God for help. He looks for God in the east, in the west, the north, and the south, everywhere, but God is nowhere to be found. If Job is a true and worthy servant of God, then why is God evading him? Why is God ignoring him? Why is God hiding from him? By the end of chapter 3, it's clear that if Job lets it, the darkness will swallow him whole. And he will drown in the ocean of God's silence. and absence. We can also sympathize with Job about God's silence, can't we? I mean, when I pray, I expect that God will answer. Isn't that what the Bible promises us? Call on me in the day of trouble. When something goes wrong or I need help, I do what I think I'm supposed to do. I go to the Lord in prayer. I claim my right as God's child and voice my complaint, to make my request, to tell my side of the story. But instead of getting an answer or a divine sympathetic nod from God, I get nothing. God seems silent despite my best efforts to get a response from God. The third ingredient, struggle, when you don't understand. Even today, my complaint is bitter, this hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. Job 23, verse 2. Why is this happening? Why is this happening now? Why is this happening to me? Why did my husband walk out on me? Why did one of my family members have to pass away? Why did I lose my job? Why did I not get my promotion? Why is my baby born with spina bifida? Life just doesn't make sense sometimes. Bad people prosper. Good people suffer. But why do we struggle with God? There are two reasons, I believe, and one is we doubt his wisdom. And therefore, two, we want to be in control. But Job says at the end of chapter 23, I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. Life is tough. But like Job, we can keep struggling. We can keep holding on. We have resilience. We can learn from our losses, profit from our pain, and advance in our adversity. Don't give up the struggle. Don't let the darkness silence your prayers. Because the fourth ingredient is sanctification. Sanctification is God's process of making us more like Jesus. Too often we think that God's plan is to make us happy, but that's not his plan. His plan is to make us holy, to make us more like Jesus. I mean, anybody can bring about good out of good, but God specializes in bringing good out of the bad. God's love turned a crucifixion into a resurrection. And Job says the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Job 42, verse 12. The gospel is the good news that turns crucifixions into resurrections. What looked like a dead end on Good Friday when Christ died for your sins and for my sins turned into being an everlasting day of Easter morning. And Christ comes to us now. He comes to us not to remove our pain or explain away our suffering, but to fill our suffering with his very presence. The God of Job, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, takes our pain, our disastrous experiences, and works them together to create a life of beauty through his Son. Ingredient number five, the final ingredient, is service. When we use our pain for God's glory, God wants us to take our greatest pain and turn it into our life's proclamation. He wants to make our mess into his message. He wants to use our tests for a testimony. He wants to take the thing we're most embarrassed about, the thing that we are most ashamed of, that we regret the most in our lives. And he wants to use it for the good in the lives of others. I mean, who can better help a couple going through struggles in their marriage than other couples that have struggled in their marriage? Who could better help someone struggling with addiction than other people who have gone through and struggled with addictions? The very thing we want to least talk about is the very thing that God wants to use to help other people. There is a plan, a divine plan, a plan where all things are working for our ultimate good and the Father's glory. And again, the secret is understanding how it all works together. Just like Job said, when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Father, you have reconciled us to yourself through the bitter suffering and death of Jesus. You have taught us our need for Jesus, who is our mediator and Messiah, our Redeemer and friend. Let him rule as our King, guide us as our prophet, and take away our sin as our high priest. Come what may, we will live in him and cleave to him in faith forever. For we believe that when you have tested us, we will come forth as gold. We take a moment of silence now to recall those God has laid on our hearts. God of tender compassion, we believe that there's a plan, a divine plan, a plan where all things are working for our good and your glory. And so we pray confidently in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we go forth confidently in the name of the Lord. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We conclude our service this evening by singing verses 1 and 4 of Abide With Me.